And then turn to Mark chapter 4 if you have a Bible or if you have the YouVersion notes. And in Mark chapter 4, we're going to read a story today about Jesus and his disciples in a boat. And it's interesting because Jesus would often preach from boats. Sometimes I think it was just because his voice would amplify on the water to be able to, it was kind of a natural sound system in that day, to be able to speak to thousands of people. But also, Jesus on this day is going to turn the boat into a pulpit. It's going to be an illustrated sermon to 12 men and others that God is faithful. And so if you need your faith built, this series is for you. Next Sunday is probably my favorite Sunday, so don't miss next Sunday. Maybe not supposed to have favorites, but I kind of have a favorite Sunday for this series, and it's next Sunday, so I hope you'll not only be here, but you bring somebody with you. But Mark chapter 4, I'll have it up on the screens for us. Here's what it says. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat, and there were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. How many know that's not a good thing? Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. He was rocked to sleep, and the disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And he said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid?" Maybe he would ask that question today of us. Why are you so afraid? Why are you fretting? Why are you so freaked out? Why are you so anxious? Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? And they were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't know if you've been out on a boat. I don't know how many fishermen we've got in the audience today. I know some. But I've been cruising before. Okay, anybody been cruising? And these ships are massive. And so you get on this thing about the size of a town and float out there in the ocean. And I remember the first time we did this, and we got out there, and it was nighttime, and we were getting ready for bed. And I kind of felt the boat move a little bit. And you know, if you're not used to that, then you say, "Oh, my gosh, what is going on?" And we had a balcony room because that way we, you know, if something did happen to the ship, we could jump out with the sharks. And I don't know, it might be better just stay on the boat. But that was our thinking. And so I looked out there, and it's calm. There are no waves smacking the ship or anything like that. And so it calmed me down because I could see that everything was okay. It was all right. And yet, even though I've not been on a cruise ship where I feared for my life, I have been on a jet plane where I feared for my life. Anybody with me on that? I flew from Dallas to Midway Airport in Chicago one time, and as we took off in Dallas, the pilot announced that we were going to try to outrun this storm that was in our path. I figured out after several minutes we did not outrun it. We evidently were going to go right through the middle of it because I have never been on a plane that fell and dropped like this one, and it was dark out and I couldn't see, are the wings still on or not, you know, I don't know. And I thought, my goodness, I have never been so close to Jesus in all of my life. How many are with me on that? I mean, I confess sins I hadn't even committed, you know, just in case. That's up. We are going down. But I couldn't see. And so today I want to help you see through eyes of faith, because on the Sea of Galilee that they're on, I mean, these guys are experienced fishermen, all right? These are not novices. These guys live on boats. And they are afraid because in the Sea of Galilee, it is well below sea level, hundreds of feet below sea level. And yet there are mountains then up on each side. And as it's surrounded by these mountains, what happens, the cold air can sometimes rush down on top of the hotter air. And then a storm can blow up just like that. And the winds begin to swirl. And the scripture tells us that it's exactly, the story says that's exactly what happened. These storms just came out of nowhere. And I don't know about you, but maybe in life, you've had storms come up in your life. That all of a sudden, you're just going along. And you say, oh man, this is a great sales month. I am kicking butt. You know, I am making some moves and all. This is awesome. But then you hear the company is not doing well. And the next month, you get laid off. And you're like, well, hey. And they say, hey, we got to go in order how people were hired. And you were hired later. And so we got to keep these other people. And you're like, what? Maybe you've had a storm where you thought, oh, our marriage is doing better and we're doing well. And then you get a bad diagnosis and it just kind of shakes your relationship, you know, and the future of it. Or maybe, you know, you're going along and your kid starts making some choices that you're not real keen on. And you know, you're thinking, uh-oh, where are we headed here? And where is this going to go? And so you begin to, if you're not careful, be afraid of the storm, right? You're going to leave me up here this morning? All right, I need your help today, all right? So how many of you would say, I've been in one of those, or I know somebody that's been in one of those, right? Where it just gets dark and you're just falling and you're just feeling the pressure of all this storm around you. And I want to help you today to know what you can do in the storm. Here are two things to remember when you are in the storm. The first one, if you want to write this down, is His presence is with you. His presence is with you. And here's even the better news. He's always with you, all right? Because it says a furious squall came up. The waves broke over the boat. It was nearly swamped. I mean, these guys are experienced fishermen, and they're afraid. And Jesus was in the storm sleeping on a cushion. So He's in the stern. The question is, I thought if God was in my boat, I wouldn't have these issues, right? I thought, you know, if God was in my boat, that everything would go smooth. It'd be smooth sailing. But here's what I want you to know. It could mean just the opposite. Because you're a Christian, Jesus said, in this world, you'll have trouble. If they persecuted me, guess what? They're going to persecute you. If they're against me, they'll be against you. He never promised a storm-free existence. We've just come out of a month of teaching on spiritual warfare. And how that when you became a Christian, you didn't get invited onto a playground. You got invited onto a battleground. Okay? To battle against the enemy, to battle against enemy forces. And we've learned over the last few weeks, you have an enemy. You have someone who's come to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So having Jesus in the boat doesn't mean the storm is not going to shake you. But what it does mean is it's not going to sink you, okay? It's not going to sink you. Nothing can take you out of the presence of God. He is with you in the storm. Now, I didn't follow this up, so you can fact check me later. But studies, I heard this the other day, that studies show that older people that have something else alive in the house live longer. It can be a fish, it can be a cat even, or a dog, or a bird, or a squirrel, or a hedgehog, or I don't know. You know, anything living in the house, they say, helps people live longer. And so I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know, when people ask, how are you? How are you doing? I know you've got a storm going on. I know there are things in your life. Listen, I'm doing well because there's something alive in my house. It's not just something, it's someone, and he's not just alive. He happens to be the author of life. The author of life. And so when he's in your boat, it makes all the difference because I sense his strength, I sense his power, I sense his presence, I sense his grace, I sense his strength in the midst of the storm. Don't let the presence of the storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. He is there. I love Psalm 46. It says, God is my refuge and strength, my ever-present help in trouble. Hebrews 13 says, he will never leave me, nor will he ever forsake me. In Psalm 23, it says, even though I walk through the valley. See, I'm not going to live in the valley. I'm going through the valley. But how many know the valley can get pretty long, right? Everybody been in a long valley? Anybody been there? And so it can seem like, whoa, this is the longest valley I've ever seen in my life. But even in the valley of death, he says, why won't I be afraid? Because you are with me. Why should I be afraid? My God is with me no matter what you're going through. Paul said it like this. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean that he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? No, Paul says, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. I grew up reading it, and I am more than a conqueror through him who loves me. How many people are more than conquerors here today, right? We are more than conquerors because he is in the boat. So that's how we see near. How many nearsighted people in the house? Come on, be proud. I'm with you, all right? I got my contacts in, all right, so I can see who you are. And so near, we see near. We got to see near who's in our boat. But I want to help you to see far. Here's the second thing to write down is his purpose is for you. See, that's in the future. God has a purpose for your life. God even has a purpose, we're going to see this in a moment, for the storm. Because Jesus is the one who said, let's go to the other side. He's the one who had the idea, the great idea, to get out there in the middle when the storm was going to come up. But what did he have his eyes on? It wasn't just the storm. He saw past the storm to the other side. There's a man on the other side who needs a touch from God. There's a person whose life is important to me. He needs to be reached. He needs to be delivered. He needs God's power in his life. And even if it means going through a storm, we're going to get over there and help that guy. And see, in the midst of your storm, it's so easy for you to get self-focused and just thinking about your problems and your thing and your deal and whatever, and you get going on Instagram and taking photos of what's going on and Facebook and different things. And I'm telling you, here's the deal, is God wants to do something in your life to prove that the purpose is through the storm. Jesus said, there's going to be this storm. At least he knew it. He knew it. And they didn't experience the storm because they were out of God's will then. They experienced the storm in God's will. Because he knew. If he knew the guy was on the other side, he knew the storm was going to come up. But he knew what he could do about it. And so as a result, you say, well, Craig, are you saying that God caused the storm? Well, I don't know which side you fall on today. I don't know if your theology says, God caused the storm to come up to test their faith. Or if you say, no, God can't, he's not going to do something like that. But he'll allow a storm to come up in your life. I don't care whether you think he caused it or he allowed it. Here's the big deal, is he will use it. And he will use it to glorify himself and to also build your faith in the meantime. And so God always looks to do that. As a matter of fact, the brother of Jesus wrote about this, which is totally fascinating. And so James says this, the brother of Jesus, here's what he says. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, you probably already got that verse down and do that real well. Why are you laughing? Let's go on. Verse 3. Because you know that the testing, here it is, the testing of your faith produces perseverance. You know that. Turn to the person next to you and say, you know that. Yeah, you know that. You know that it does. So he goes on, says, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so what he says is a good teacher will always test their students. A good teacher will do that. And God, as a good teacher, as the best teacher, he wants to put his students to the test to make sure we've learned it. That we've got this lesson. That it's not just in short-term memory, but it's in our long-term memory. And James says, the brother of Jesus, he says, and then we get more mature because as God helps us through this. Now, let me ask you, how does God help you to grow in your worship? How does he help you to grow in your purpose? How does he help you to grow in your giving and in your living and in your faith walk? How does he do that? I'll tell you, storms. He will use storms in our lives to grow us. If you know someone who seems rock solid and they seem to have a great foundation, it seems like they are rooted, then they've been through some storms. Just talk to them. But they've learned to trust him through the storms. They've learned to rely upon his power. There's something they needed to learn, and maybe there's something you need to learn that you're not going to learn any other way. You have to learn it through the storm. So God always uses the storm. Trusting Jesus in salvation, to trust him. God, I believe that Jesus died on the cross. He died for me. He was my sacrifice as well as everybody else's and paid for my sin. So I want to accept that sacrifice for me so that I can be justified. Justified, never sinned, you said, that I could be if I trust you. When you do that, and you may do that in a few moments here in this service if you haven't already, the moment you do that, he forgives. The moment you forget, because it's not about you. It's about him. It's about him and his grace and his mercy. But the living out of faith, right? The living out of our faith is a daily process. And I'm just going to get a little bit vulnerable here today and tell of my own personal struggle in this area. You may struggle in a different area, but maybe some of you struggle in this area. One of the things I struggle in is financially just trusting God will meet every need. You know, that it makes no difference. And I'm telling you, my wife and I, when we started out our lives together, we pledged that we would always be tithers. That means the Bible talks about tithing. It's 10% of your income. And for us, that was like baseline. That was just like the minimum of commitment. Because when I read the Bible, especially over in the New Testament, after Jesus came, people would sell their house and give it to the church. You know, they would sell their land and bring the money to church and stuff like that. I mean, they were crazy generous. And so when I measure my life up against that, then that's where I kind of think, oh my gosh, you know, I'd love to be like that. But, you know, hello. And there could be retirement one day and different things. And so I just think, and maybe some of it comes from my dad, who was a person who grew up during the Great Depression. And so he was very frugal, you know. It had to be, you know, I don't need that. And my mom said, well, but we want it. And no, yeah, but we don't need it. You know, difference. We don't need. You know, it's like, well, no, we could wear boxes instead of shoes, you know. And we could do that and all. And so, but he grew up, you know, just learning to live with little and all. And I think some of that rubbed off on me. And I thought, you know, we may not have enough. I'm going to talk about this again in a week or two, because it's a paralyzing thought that, it, you know, I may run out and there may not be enough. And as a result, here's what you begin to believe, is you believe a scarcity mindset and you think, oh my gosh, you know, there may not be enough, we may not make it, you know, to the final finish line. I don't know if you felt that way, but here's what I've been telling myself, all right? So maybe this will help somebody like me. I'm going to confess over my life that my faith is not in the money I have in the bank, but in the person that I have in my boat, right? Because these guys said, teacher, we're going to drown. Now, these guys are used to being in a boat. They've probably seen some storms or whatever. But I'm telling you, the enemy is telling them, you're going down. This is it. They won't even find your body out here. You're going down, and you're going down now. These guys were freaked out, scared to death, and afraid. And they said, teacher, we're going to drown. That's not what he said. He said, we're going to the other side. But see, in the midst of the storm, how many know there's another voice that wants to creep up and slither up into your ear and begin to whisper to you, you're going down. You're not getting healed. You're not going to make it. You're getting sicker. You can't afford to tithe. You can't afford to do that. You're not going to make it. You're going down. And I'm here to tell you, the same person that was lying to the disciples is the same one lying to you. And if Jesus is in your boat and he wants you to get to the other side, there's no devil, there's no demon, there's no storm, there's no wind, there's nothing that can stop it from happening. Because look at this, he got up. He got up and he spoke to the wind and the waves, and said, quiet. The same one who created the world spoke now and said, quit. Stop. Be still. And he said to the disciples, what he may be saying to some of us here today is, why are you so afraid? I got this. I promised that they would crucify me. And they did. But then I said something else. I said, but on the third day, I'll rise again. And I did. And I said, I'm coming back. And I will. And no one knows the day or the hour, but I'm coming back. And so the same one who opened blind eyes, healed deaf ears, caused lame to walk, rose from the dead, pulled off a promise like no one else has ever done in all the history of the planet. I'm telling you, that same God, when he's in your boat, you'll make it to the other side. You will. But here's what happened. They said, who is this? And they went from the fear of the storm to the fear of the Lord. You see, some of us are in awe of our storm. We talk about it on social media. Oh, our storm. We get on the phone with, oh, my storm's still here. Yeah, it's still black out there. Yeah, the wind's still blowing. Oh, it's awful. And we focus and we're in awe of our storm. I'm telling you, what you need to get focused on today is the Lord over the storm. The one who can speak, peace be still. And regardless of what it is, regardless of how dark it gets, regardless of the storm in your life, he is able. Say that with me. He is able. Say it one more time. He is able. He said, I'm able to take the good and the bad and bring it together and work it together for the good of them who love me and are called according to my purpose. How about you? Why are you so afraid? Why be afraid when you're with his presence and when you're for his purpose? Let me tell you something. If you're trusting in money or things or whatever, your boat, honey, ain't big enough. It ain't long enough. It ain't tall enough. It ain't wide enough. It ain't strong enough to stand up against some of the storms that life can bring your way. But if you have Jesus in your little fishing boat, I'm telling you, it doesn't matter if you get out in a hurricane, that whatever brings your way, Jesus will take you to the other side. He will. So why be afraid? So let me ask you today, who's in your boat? Who's in your boat? Because if he is with us, then who can be against us? Let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning that in the midst of the dark times and the wind and the howling around us, that you are there. You are always there. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Craig, sometimes I'll be honest, and even maybe recent for some of you, sometimes I get distracted. I start looking at the wind and the waves and the things around me and on. I lose focus on who is in my boat. And today, I just want to affirm to God that I am believing, trusting. He is able to keep what I've committed to him against that day. That he who calmed the wind and the waves is still able to calm them today. And whether or not it calms today or not, I want him to know that I believe and I trust him because he is in my boat. If that's your declaration, would you raise your hand here this morning and say, yes, 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 yes. Regardless of what storm you may be in or facing, you believe that. Father in heaven, you see every hand that's raised in this room. And God, I know for some, it's gotten pretty dark. And the wind has picked up pretty strong. and the waves are crashing. But that's not what's important. That's not where our focus needs to be. Where our focus, God, is, it's on you. And when you're in our boat, nothing can stop us. Nothing can destroy us when you are on our side. And so, God, I pray encouragement into every life, every person, everyone that's going through a struggle. God, I pray that today you will lift them up and that you will encourage their heart and help them to trust you, God, just like those 12 men learned in that boat. Maybe others of you are here today, and maybe if you were honest, you'd have to say, Jesus, I don't think is in my boat. I'm not living in relationship with him. I don't have a real relationship with the living God to where I feel like his presence is alive in me, that he's with me. If you're here today and maybe you used to walk with God and used to go to church or whatever that looked like in your life, but somehow or another, maybe it was a storm that came up and you thought, hey, I thought if God loved me, this wouldn't happen. And maybe you walked out of church and walked away from God. Or maybe you're here today and maybe because of not knowing really a good knowledge of God, you never accepted him because you didn't know he's the one that can take you through the storms of life. Just because you come to Jesus, it doesn't mean you won't have storms, but you will have him and the confidence that he brings and the power and the presence that he brings. And I want that for you. I want you to experience what I've experienced, what so many others have experienced. And so if you're here this morning and you say, Craig, even though I don't understand everything, what I do understand is I need God in my life. And I want to invite him in here right now. I want to pray for you if that's you. Would you just slip your hand up and say, yes, that's me. Yes, 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 yes. Yes, back here. God bless you. How many over there? God bless you. Over here, God bless you. Okay, hands around the room, about every section, I think. God bless you over here. God bless you. I know that God's moving in this place. Some people's lives are about to change over this prayer. And it's not because of the prayer. It's just because of your heart reaching out to God. But I'm going to help you to pray. Maybe you've never done this. And so I want our whole church family to just help me. Just repeat this prayer after me and pray it to God. Just say, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for sin. I know I've sinned. I've done my own thing. But as of today, I invite you into my life. Become the Lord over my life. As much as I know how, I'm surrendering to your will and your purpose for my life. From this day forward, lead me, guide me. Direct me. In Jesus' name, amen. Church family, let's praise God for those who prayed that prayer. Listen, once you commit your life to God, then that's just the start of it. And then another thing the Bible talks about is baptism. And we'd love to talk to you about that. You saw it on the video. This month will be our last baptism of the year. We're already got enough people, I think, signed up already to have the record year ever of baptisms at Crossroads. And so we are super pumped about that. You can be part of that this year here in just a few weeks. And so please get signed up today. Also, a class called Starting Point will help you to grow in your faith so that you can walk with a God who loves you and has a plan and purpose for your life and has freedom for you. So with that in mind, I'm going to ask our prayer partners to come up here to the front, and the rest of you, if you'll stand for closing prayer, I'm going to pray. So if you have to leave.